We are going to be in John 19:31 as we get started this evening. For multiple reasons, but here we go. We're going to be talking about what we find in the book of John, starting with verse 31. We're going to start off by just reading John 19:31. It says this: "Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away." All right, stop there. We'll come back to this in just a second. This is going to bring up three thoughts primarily. One, you cannot simply read a sentence or a verse of the Bible and automatically think that you know what it means. That is going to put you in dangerous waters. You cannot just assume, like when you see the word Sabbath, that it automatically is going to mean Saturday. You cannot assume that. That's going to put you in dangerous, very dangerous waters. Number, you have to dive deeper. You have to dive deeper into the context. You have to keep everything into the context. You have to remember where you are, who's talking, who's the audience, everything about what you're reading. Number two is that the ideas of preparations for somewhat of a big day is nothing new. As Pastor even mentioned, we are preparing for a big day. We're doing it right now. As we speak, the ladies, the gentlemen, primarily our ladies are awesome at doing this. We're going to have special food. We're going to have special music. This is not an ordinary Sunday. And around the world, it's not an ordinary Sunday. It's a big celebrational Sunday. So, even more preparation for big, huge, celebrational Sundays is not a new idea. But three, it can bring out ideas such as what we hear about right now in our midst, in Fredericksburg, Virginia, and all over the world, about Good Friday. Has anyone ever celebrated Good Friday before? Anyone ever? I did. I was raised in the Methodist Church, in the Church of the Brethren, and you celebrated Good Friday. You celebrated Good Friday and you enjoyed it, and there was wonderful worship. It was enjoyable, and there are good Christians. There are good Christian men and women that will stand firm on ideas like the preparation before the Sabbath, that this has to be the origin of Good Friday. And then I even took residents to hospital, to doctor's offices. And one in particular today, there was a sign saying, this office is going to be closed for Good Friday through Easter. Thank you for your patience and your consideration, your understanding. So it is not a new idea. It's been around for a long, long time. But this evening, I tend to prove that the day of preparation cannot be referring to in John 19:31, cannot be referring to a Friday, because Scripture cannot contradict itself. To do that, I want you to go with me to Matthew 12, verse 40. Matthew 12, verse 40. this is going to be important because, one, like I said, the Bible can't contradict itself. And two, everything that Jesus promises, it has to come true. Or what would happen if one promise wasn't fulfilled that Jesus promised? He would have stayed in the grave. He would stop being God. And none of us would be here this evening. Not one of us. So in Matthew 12, verse 40, it says this: "For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Okay? He has to be in the ground, the grave, for 3 days and three nights. And that is not up for discussion. He promised that it would happen, and it has to happen. And even when I was going to church with my mom and dad at a Methodist church or the Church of the Brethren, and we would be celebrating Good Friday services, and we'd be getting psyched up for Easter service, I was unsaved, and yet I still could not do that simple math. How do we get 3 days and three nights in the grave when He's dead on Friday, because that's what we're celebrating, and He's risen from the dead on Sunday? That math did not compute to me. It didn't make any sense. And I wasn't that brilliant in math, but I could figure out that Friday night to Sunday morning when He's been resurrected, the best I could do is come up with 1.5, possibly if I'm stretching to the wildest imaginations, 2 days in the grave. And that just wouldn't do, because Jesus said, "I'm going to be in the grave for 3 days and three nights." So anything less will not do. And the good thing, if it is, the marvelous thing of it is, one, we can trust the Word of God completely. Two, all four Gospels mention the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. All four. Two of them mention His birth. Two, Matthew and Luke. All four mention His death, burial, and resurrection. Okay, so let's go to Matthew 27. We'll quickly hit these and we'll get back to John. But Matthew 27. We'll start, I was going to start at 62. We're going to start at 57 just because I know you guys can handle even more scripture. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut out of a rock. And he rolled the great stone of the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite of the tomb. The next day, this is after the day of preparation, you're going to see those words a lot, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days, I will rise.'" Therefore, I love this. I love Pilate's response even more. "Therefore, order of the tomb to be made secure under the third day, until the third day, lest the disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. That always amazes me, first off. No guard has ever been called before or after to be on watch over a dead man. Not once. It doesn't even make sense. There would be no point. But here, they made sure. They made sure that what they believed was going to be right, right? They took all the measures and they were still wrong. But they were what were they worried about? They were worried that in 3 days he was going to be risen from the dead. And they did not want that to take place. Because as they said, then it will be the last fraud will be as worse as the first. They couldn't even imagine. We finally got rid of him. We can move on. But we can't if he is going to come back from the dead on that third day and rise again. But I want you to also notice, it was the day after the preparation. So the Pharisees, in a real way, were breaking their own rules. Because they had a ton of rules of what you could and could not do. Man-made rules to make things harder on their parishioners. You weren't allowed to do a lot of stuff on any Sabbath, especially a high Sabbath day. And we'll get to that once we get back to John. You couldn't do anything. You couldn't walk you could only walk a certain number of steps. Like you couldn't do much at all on an ordinary Sabbath day. Not much less a special Sabbath day. But as we also know that in chapter 28, now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the sea of the tomb, and it was empty. He had risen. He had risen indeed. Mark 15, go to Mark 15. We're going to touch just a little bit on all four of the Gospels, because it's simply amazing that all four would record these things. 15, starting with verse 42. And when the evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. Summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he had learned the centurion that he was already dead, he granted the corpse, the lifeless body, to Joseph. And he had to wrap him quickly and put him in a tomb. Okay? Why would he have to wrap him quickly? We'll see that in Luke, matter of fact. And in John. Why such haste to get the body down? Even for people like Joseph of Arimathea, or as we'll see, Nicodemus from John. Why such haste? Because they were faithful Jews. They knew the protocol. They knew what they were supposed to do during an ordinary Sabbath day. They knew what they were called to do during a high Sabbath day, a special Sabbath day. And they knew that they were supposed to be done by a certain time so that they could have their minds and their hearts ready to worship God in God's temple. So it wasn't just the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and it wasn't just the teachers of the law. It was the faithful ones like Joseph of Arimathea. It was the faithful ones like Nicodemus. It was the faithful ones who were also in quite a rush to get things done during this preparation day. How about Luke 23? Luke 23, verses 54 through 56. You know, we can start with 50. I like hearing Joseph's name over and over and over again. There was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man who had not consented to their decision and action. And he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in linen shroud and laid it in the tomb cut in the stone where no one had ever been laid. Verse 54, it was the day of preparation and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared the spices and ointments. 56 ends this way. On the Sabbath they rested according to the commandments. Okay. So they took the Sabbath seriously. They worshiped God on the Sabbath. They were to worship God on the Sabbath. They were to praise God. They were to go to the temple. There were things that needed done. And they took all those things into consideration. Which is why they were in a rush. Not just the Pharisees again, but they were in a rush to get Jesus into a tomb and fulfill their duties by taking care of their Lord and Savior so that they could prepare to worship Him along with thousands, if not millions, of Jews that were going to be making their way to Jerusalem to worship God. For it was a special day. It wasn't just an ordinary Sabbath. It was a special high day like Passover, the Feast of Booths, the Pentecost. These special high Sabbath days, it was mandatory that everybody came into Jerusalem to worship God at the temple. So we're going back to John. We're going back to John 19, and we'll start with 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all now was finished, said to fulfill Scripture, "I thirst," and a jar of sour wine stood there. So they poured a sponge, a full of sour wine, in the hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." He bowed his head. He gave up his spirit. Since it was, verse 31, since it was the day of preparation, and so the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day. The Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Stop there again. The day of preparation from John 19:31, the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross for the Sabbath was a high day. John is the only one that notes this. Only one, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's the only one that notes that this Sabbath was a high day. John is the only one that notes this, but this is very important. They wanted the bodies down and come down in a hurry because the next day was a special Sabbath. It was Thursday. The special Sabbath would have been a Thursday, not the ordinary Sabbath that landed on a Saturday. But again, as the Scriptures cannot contradict itself, and as we have seen many a time, let's go to keep in John 19 and go to verse 38. Again, you can't just read the words and think, "Oh, I know what this means. I don't have to study it any longer." That's where people get in trouble. They see the word Sabbath and they automatically think it's got to mean Saturday. Like they see the word baptism and they think it's got to mean water. Keep the words in context. And a good thing to do is dive deeper into the Word of God. Don't just read it. Don't just read it and skim it and say, "Okay, I did my reading for the day." If you have a question, read it some more. Pray about it. Ask God to open your eyes. Reveal His truth. Ask God to reveal His truth to you. And read it and keep reading it. And look at good Christians that write about these things and see what they say. I mean, keep digging and digging and digging. And don't stop until you personally, through the personal relationship that you have with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, are satisfied. You keep educating yourself on what the Word of God actually says. Because it doesn't mean different things for different people. It means one thing, as it meant for the original audience. It still means for us today. It doesn't change. But verse 38, continuing on the revelation of this truth, says this: after these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away the body. And Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes and about 75 pounds of weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloth and spices and burial, as was burial custom of the Jews. Now in this place, verse 41, now in this place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had been laid. Verse 42, so because it was the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. Okay, again and again and again we see that not just the Jews, not just the Pharisees, but Joseph of Arimathea, a disciple of Christ, and Nicodemus, who becomes by the fruit that he produces, his life has been changed remarkably forever. He does a 180 and becomes a follower of Christ. They are taking care of the body, but they are what? They're in a hurry to take care of this body. They make great haste to take care of the body. Since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there, and it was the Jewish day of preparation. They wanted to do it right, but they did not want to be in the wrong by Nicodemus' own training. It must have been ingrained in his mind since he was the ruler of the Jews. We find that out in John 3, that we have to get this done because tomorrow's the high Sabbath day, and we got to be in the temple to worship God. So let's go, Joseph. Let's get this done. We want to get it done right. We want to be thorough, but the time is ticking away, and we want to get to the special Sabbath ceremonies. In John 21, it says, then out of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been rolled from the tomb. He had risen. He had risen indeed. He had fulfilled His promise that we heard about in Matthew, that He has to be, the Son of Man has to be in the ground, has to be in the grave for 3 full days. Not 1.5, not 2, but 3 full days. So go with me here. We're going to do some easy math. If Wednesday is their preparation day for the high Sabbath, because as we said, on that day, millions, every known Jew knew that they had to go to Jerusalem during the high Sabbath days to worship God. And so there's a lot more to prepare for, right? There's a lot more to do. We can see that even in today's society. As we already mentioned, there's special music that has to be done, a special brunch that's being put together and going to be made, nice outfits. Guys look sharp on special Sundays, don't they? And ladies look even more beautiful with matching mother-daughter dresses, or maybe the dad and the sons are on suits, and the family members, extended family members come. Because it's not an ordinary Sunday. It's an exciting time for everybody. Just like it was here. From all over the world, from all over the globe, they were going to be coming. Speaking different languages, still Jewish, still got to get to the temple in Jerusalem. We find that out in Acts 2. They're speaking all different languages. And they come to the temple of Jerusalem to worship God. So if you're following me here, Wednesday being the preparation day for the high Sabbath day, and Jesus is quickly put into the tomb. Then the Jews celebrate their high Sabbath day on Thursday. The Jews have a regular preparation day, which would be on Friday. They enjoy their normal Sabbath day on Saturday. Then Sunday comes and the first day of the week, and Jesus has risen from the dead, which is why we worship our risen Savior on Sunday. They were faithful to a T to worship Him on Saturday, on the Sabbath. But we worship Him not on Saturday, but on Sunday, the first day of the week, because that's when He has risen. And that's why we come together and we worship our risen Savior, who conquered sin and death, went to the cross. He died our death that we deserved. He paid our sin debt in full. And He was in the grave for 3 days. And He rose again. And if you simply believe that, you have eternal life. He took away your sin and He gave you His earned righteousness that you could never earn. And yet you could never pay for it. You could never pay for the sin that you commit against an almighty God. That's why the people in hell will never stop being in torture and in pain, because they'll never be able to pay off their sin debt. Only Jesus, 100% man, being 100% God, could take my eternal sin debt, your eternal sin debt, if you believe in Him and are a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, if you have placed your faith in Him, then He has taken your sin debt, past, present, and future, all of it together, and He paid for it in full while on the cross. It was accomplished 2,000 years ago. It's applied the very moment you believe. And because He gives you that double imputation, taking away your sin debt and giving you His righteousness, that's the only way God the Father can look at you now and see you as justified. And you are sanctified. And one sweet day, as we've already mentioned, you'll be glorified. But that's why we worship God we worship Jesus on Sunday, because that's the day He rose from the grave. But biblically, as we just read, if Jesus is in the ground Wednesday night through Thursday morning, everybody say that's one day and one night, right? We can do that math. Some people are shaking their head. Then Jesus is still in the ground Thursday night through Friday morning. That's 2 full days and nights. Then Jesus remains in the ground Friday night through Saturday morning. There all day Saturday. That's 3 days and 3 nights in the ground. Thus accomplishing what Jesus promised back in Matthew 12:40, and having Him risen and already gone, as Mary saw, already gone when Mary came to check on Jesus on the first day of the week on Sunday, for He had risen, and He had risen indeed. So, is there biblical grounds for a Good Friday? No. There's not. Is there biblical grounds that Jesus fulfilled every piece of Scripture and fulfilled every promise that He ever said? Yes, there is. Because again, if He did not fulfill any of His promises, if He didn't fulfill one promise, let go to the wayside, He would have stayed in the ground. And when Mary came to visit Him on the first day of the week, she would have found a dead Jesus. She would have not have found an empty tomb. For He had risen. For He kept every promise. He kept every promise. So children, simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved by believing that He did what you could not do. He went to the cross. He died your death that you deserve. And He was in the ground for 3 days and three nights. And on the first day of the week, on Sunday morning, when they came with lots of stuff to prepare a dead body with so that it didn't start to rot, they didn't find a body because He had risen. And they were excited. And they would spread the news of great joy that they did not worship a fallen Savior. They worshiped and they worship a risen Savior, our risen Lord, who conquered sin and death and did it just for lost sinners just like you and me, so that you and me could simply believe what He did and thank Him for it and praise Him for it and trust Him that He accomplished the mission and He did it out of His good pleasure. All right, shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank You so much for this evening. I thank You that Your Word will never pass away. This heaven and this earth will pass away, but Your Word will never pass away. We can stand firm on it. We know it to be true because You are truth and it comes from You. And so every piece of Scripture that we can read and proclaim and stand firm on, we can do so because we know where it comes from. It comes from You, dear Lord. And You are perfect in every way. And I thank You that You left heaven where people were worshiping You and singing Your praises, and You came to be rejected, despised, and crushed while on the cross. It was not Your will, but Your Father's will to be done, that lost sinners like myself would have hope in a risen Savior and redemption through You. For there is no other way to get to the Father but through You, dear Lord. And so we know by grace we are saved through faith in Christ Jesus. It is never going to be of our own works. It never will be. It is simply that free gift to all of us that believe. And we believe in You, dear Lord. So thank You. Praise You. Be with us and allow us to go from here and to have a deeper desire to read deeper into Your Word and to learn more about You and what You have done for people like me and everyone else in this room. Thank You and praise You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.